this a 37-yard field goal for the win over the Titans for the first time in more than 2 years. Hollis, the kick from the hold of Barker. There's the snap, the placement, the kick is up. It is on the way, and Mike Hollis has beaten the Titans for the win. 5 seconds to play, 59 yards out. A franchise best, a personal best. Snap, the placement, the kick up on the way. And he got it from 59 yards away for the win. Oh, boy! Oh, yeah! 59 yards!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Tony Smith and Ryan O'Halloran.
One more day, Jacksonville, that's all. One more day, and then Mike Dempsey's back in the chair. I know you're all clamoring for it. I am Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran alongside today as we get ready for training camp week. As the rookies are in today, they'll be on the practice field running around here in about an hour, doing whatever they're going to be doing, working out. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like for the rookies today. But
I would assume it's a conditioning test of some sort.
They're going to be out there today at 11 o'clock. Hopefully this week we'll catch up with a few of this Jaguar rookie class, some of the veterans coming in on Thursday, so we'll hope to talk to them as well. We're also hoping to catch up with Coach Bradley a little bit later this week as well. I know you talked to him over the course of the weekend, so we'll talk a little bit about that Q&A session that you had with Coach Gus Bradley today on the show as well. But before we get to any of that, you seem a little stressed today, Ryan.
No, I'm busy. there's a lot of moving parts this week, as when the start of camp always starts. And so I maybe made 10 trips between the studio and the offices, So the added element this week, later in the week, is obviously the scoreboard part.
Yep.
Which means the owner's going to be in town, which means the soccer team's going to be in town. So that just is another layer of things that we got to be on top of. So a lot of it today was, okay, who's going to be where and when.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the period of 9:25 to 9:58 today.
So let the public know, where can they go harass Shad Khan?
Well, we don't know that. I'm trying to figure out where I can harass him. Fulham and DC United are going to have some kind of practice here Friday night.
Okay.
Separately. They're probably going to announce that later. Don't know times yet. So then the match is Saturday. So unveil the scoreboards. Then we get Miss Carey out there for the concert. So that's everything for that. On the important stuff, the football report on Thursday, veterans, first practice 9:55 Friday. And then first day in pads a week from Wednesday.
Yeah, and I know we've been saying it for a couple weeks now, but Mike and I will be live from practice out there. Whenever training camp is here at the building and that practice starts at 9:55, Mike and I will be out there to keep our eye on practice. We're going to have you and John and all the guys that we usually have come on with us during the week, kind of rotate in through those days so we can get an idea of what you guys are seeing out there on the practice field as we try to keep the people updated on what's going on with camp. Again, we're just 4 days away now from this team being on the field and practicing. It's here, guys. I mean, the rookies are in the building. They're going to be on the field in less than an hour. You're no longer waiting for football season. It's upon us.
Is that tent going to be air-conditioned?
No.
Is there going to be a fan?
No.
I'm your biggest fan.
Is there going to be a cooler?
There's enough media between you guys and me and Mike, and they're blowing hot air. That'll keep the air moving.
Is there going to be a separate cooler of beverages? Water, Gatorade. Okay.
Water and Gatorade he was angling for. I didn't think that's where that was going. You got to wait till after the show to imbibe there, Mr. O'Halloran, in the cooler. But, yeah, it does get started in 4 days. Mike and I will be out there on Friday for practice. It's open to the public as well. Remember, if you want to come out to training camp practices, you do need to register with the Jaguars online so that they have an idea of how many people are going to be coming out here. I don't know if you had the chance to read Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback today with all the running around you've been doing, but he was talking about the Buffalo Bills opened up their training camp yesterday, and they are going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game against the New York Giants here in a couple weekends. The Giants open up camp today. But it's basically the talking season. It's the happy season around the NFL. And maybe part of it is that this is a Bills team who, you know, Ralph Wilson died earlier this year, so the ownership is kind of up in the air with this Bills organization. Whether or not it's going to stay in Buffalo depends largely on who's going to come in and take over ownership of that team. Well, first day of training camp, they had a crowd of 4,000 people show up for camp. Now, how that compares...
They treated it like it was a big deal, though. Right.
How that compares to years past with the Buffalo Bills, I have no idea. But Peter King, at least, was making a huge deal out of the fact that they had 4,000 people.
Give you a quick Peter King story.
Oh. Here we go. Dirt.
To read, you know, when you read his camp reports the next couple weeks, take it with a grain of salt. It was probably back 06, 07, Redskins camp. First day, maybe first day in pads. A guy named Mike Williams, former first round pick from Buffalo, trying to resurrect his career in Washington, was out there in one on one drills, some goal line stuff. Terrible. Terrible. Looked like a guy who hadn't played in 2 years, which he hadn't. But I mean, a lot of us said, hey, first day, you know, it's going to be a process. The next day online, Monday morning quarterback. I can't believe how well Mike Williams looks. And a couple of coaches called me over the next day and said, what was he watching? So it's all in the eye of the beholder.
Sure.
It is talking season because every season in the NFL is talking season.
Oh, it is.
And now it's just a matter of, okay, now once you get the pads on, you can say, okay, which rookies are going to emerge? Which guys are going to surprise us? And how, you know, do the veterans stay healthy? Those are the major talking points.
No, it definitely is. And with this Jaguar team, look, when we say the talking season, all 32 teams feel pretty good right now because all they've had is an off season where they feel like, look, we had free agency and a draft, and look how much better we are at this position and that position, and how much better and more competitive we're going to be on the field. Everyone feels that way right now. And the Jaguar fans, more so than most, I think, probably because of how bad they were 2 years ago compared to what they feel like going into this season. Now, we'll see how much that pays off once we get onto the field. But there is this offseason, it is all about feeling pretty good about where you are. When you're going through an offseason and you're bad-talking your own team during that time, it tells you that you have a really lousy team. And I don't think Jaguar fans feel that way.
Well, the enthusiasm in this town is justified because they survived the last year. I mean, that's what it was about, especially after 0-8. So I think if you ask the realistic fan, they'll say, hey, 4 wins was great last year, but you sort of did it with smoke and mirrors, beat some bad teams. The positive is that you were able to beat bad teams. You know, okay, now can you beat a good team? You know, can you not start off 0-4 in the first month or two of the season? So
sure.
I think the enthusiasm is justified because people realize the direction where you think it's going, and you have and you just didn't sign guys over 30 like the Raiders did, who best days are behind them. These, you know, the Jaguars feel they've signed ascending players. That should get fans fired up as well.
No, it should. And like we said, training camp opens up a little bit later this week, so this week will be obviously focused here on Jaguars today on getting you ready for training camp, as we'll have Ryan O'Halloran in today. We'll have Mark Long in later this week. John Osher, who's celebrating a birthday today. Happy birthday, Johnny O.
Johnny O.
We'll get all those guys in and get their thoughts as we head into training camp coming up on Friday, which also happens to be our producer Lauren Brooks' birthday on Friday. So her birthday week starts today.
Birthday month started a couple weeks ago.
Here on Jaguars Today. But Ryan, you've been doing your 20 and 20 series, and one of the articles you did on that blog is kind of the genesis for the fan feedback spotlight question of the day today, where you were talking about trying to get some balance on offense for this team and if they're going to be able to get that. And we're asking fans today to chime in on what do you think is the most important position group on this Jaguar team heading into the 2014 season. What is most going to affect the outcome of their season? We'll get your answers a little bit later on in the show. You can tweet us at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Lauren. And again, we'll choose one or two people to win a free Jaguars Today t-shirt. All you have to do is respond to that question via Twitter or on the Facebook page, Jaguars Today. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's also a Jaguar Ticket Blitz Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Tickets now available available for single games, just $45 to purchase those tickets. You can go to Jaguars.com/tickets or 633-2000. The home opener this year is against the division rival Indianapolis Colts, and Andrew Luck is coming to town. He had their number last year. This is a team that is ascending, people, and it'll be your first opportunity to see a regular season game with those beautiful new billboards that are going to be unveiled this weekend after the Fulham soccer game when they take on DC United. But the first home regular season game will be against those Indianapolis Colts. And this is a team that has to wait till week three to play that first home game. Look, it's different. It's going to be a different experience here at the stadium than it ever has been with all the improvements that they have, the new seatings that you have the opportunity to go sit in with the cabanas and the pools and the individual seating that they're going to have basically in the club level this year that they're adding to the experience of game day along with those video boards. And by the way, the team should be better too.
Well, that's the key thing, the product.
Yeah, yeah. The team should be better too. They're going to win more than one game at home this year. They are.
Oh, I guarantee. 10 a.m. What a coincidence. 10 a.m. on a Monday, you predict. Well, I tell you what, they better win more than one game at home because the schedule sets up for that.
It does.
And that's, you know, you become respectable by taking care of your home field. You know, you should go 500 at home. Regardless.
Yeah.
So.
And you're a part of that, Jacksonville. The fans are a part of that home field and that home field advantage. So if you haven't had your chance to go get tickets yet, single game tickets now on sale for just $45. And obviously a great home schedule this year with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town, the New York Giants, Miami will be here as well. You can see Cleveland, a team that they should be able to beat. And like we said, that Indianapolis team is their home opener this year in the regular season on Sunday, September 21st. So tickets starting at just $45. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000 to get a hold of yours. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars today. Mike Dempsey will be back with us tomorrow. I am Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran alongside, and we will dig into his 20-20 series as we get ready for training camp. Now just 4 days away, Jacksonville. Unreal. That's all coming up next right here on Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The 1010XL 92.5 FM Jaguars Ticket Blitz. Call 633-2000.
All right. Hope you enjoyed your weekend, Jacksonville. That's it. It's training camp week. It is here. I've been watching Twitter today as everyone very excited about all the rookies coming in as Ryan comes sprinting in. I'm telling you, man, he is all over the place this morning. My goodness.
I just had to catch up with Tad Dickman about his trip to London with Will Blackman last week.
And how was that?
He said it was good. He had a kind of about a Saturday night, so I've been on that flight. But leave London at 8:45, stop in JFK, get back to Jacksonville like 5 o'clock at night. So.
Yeah.
Did Tad enjoy the food more than you did?
I'm guessing he didn't, because we both have similar interests, which is chocolate, pizza, potato chips.
They don't have chocolate or pizza or potato chips?
That's what I ate.
Okay. You found the niche joints over there that had the pizza and potato chips.
Yeah, I tried to have a salad one night. Don't even get me started on lettuce over there.
I know that was Let's Get It Started or whatever. Is that the theme of the week? Is everything's getting started?
Exactly. All right. That was an easy one.
Yeah.
It's Monday. I don't want to make you work too hard.
You got to give Tony some low-hanging fruit on a Monday.
Yeah, that's right. We need Wednesday or Thursday you can start challenging me, but earlier in the week you need to take it easy, and Fridays have to be so simple because
exactly.
It's Friday.
Well, on Friday it won't be me. So.
I know. We'll see if we get a theme at all on Friday.
Is that a 10-10 thing? Do you get your birthday off?
No, it's not a 10-10 thing.
Yeah,
I took it off so I can go to training camp because I know it'll probably be the only day I'll be able to get out there during the week.
I worked on Friday, and because Mike wasn't here, I worked more than I usually do on Friday.
Which was a couple hours.
I can't believe he took my birthday off. No, I would have been here anyway. I love doing what I do. I mean, I get to come in and talk football for 2 hours with you, Jacksonville, with Ryan O'Halloran. This is what I enjoy doing. I told my friends over the course of the weekend, they were like, you had to work on your birthday? I was like, man, I could sit here while y'all ignored me talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars for 2 hours and entertain myself. That is cake. It doesn't bother me at all to have to go in there and do that kind of thing. And with that, It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today, and let's dig into the Jacksonville Jaguars as they get ready for training camp. But again, first practice is on Friday at 9:55. It is open to the public, so make your plans to come on out, register on the website so they have an idea of how many people to be ready for, so we know if we need the overflow zones ready, like they were in Buffalo or like they were for the mini camp for the rookies earlier this week. But make your plans to come on out this weekend and see the Jags as they open up their training camp. And with that, Ryan, you've been doing your 20 and 20 series. I think you got three or four questions left.
Three left. And if anybody's got any suggestions, tweet me, because I'm scraping. I mean, the barrel is empty.
But so. You had a couple interesting ones. The last couple have been pretty cool. And you talked about Bortles or Colvin being the first guy to get a start. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Want to start, however, with the question of can the Jags be more balanced on the offensive side of the ball. And you had an interesting stat in there about the number of times that the Jags were able to rush in individual games directly correlating to their success in the win-loss column, at least relatively speaking to the rest of their season when they weren't able to get it. What was that number?
Well, I think the key number is every game they won, they had more than 20 rushes.
Okay.
And talking to Gus last week, that remains their target. If you're running it 20 times, it means a couple of things. It means you're in the game. You don't got to scrap it. You are running it effectively, so you're able to control the clock a little bit. And then you're also getting some manageable third downs, so you can do some short passes or even a run or two to convert those. So everything about being balanced correlates to can you stay in the game at halftime?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the key thing. And they feel that this defense has been built to do that and slow down teams a little more. And they feel like with the addition of Gerhardt, they'll be able to do more things on first and 10 with the running game. You get in the second and 5, you get in the second and 4, that opens up the next section of Jed Fish's play call sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're second and plus, then you're up the creek.
Sure, and it's something we didn't see a lot of last year. Jed Fish seems to – he's very creative with what he wants to do. He takes advantage of opportunities, and we've talked about this before. When this team got the running game going, that's when the play action came in. That's when the trick plays came in, and I think Jed wanted to do more of that than he was given the opportunity to last year because they were so bad on first down, especially in the first half of the season. I mean, they were so bad. The fans were screaming every week when we're talking to them about, why are they just running the ball on first down? Well, because they don't want second and 10, and second and 8 is better than second and 10. They wanted to get those 2 yards. It was just so often they weren't even able to do that. I mean, they had no momentum in the first half of the season on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and if Jed was sitting here, he'd say, they're not trick plays. They're special plays. They're special plays. But, that was, everything was broken the first half of the season last year. But they simply couldn't stay on schedule. Maurice goes down with the ankle in week 2. Didn't miss a game, but clearly hobbled. They thought they may be able to get a little bit out of Denard. That didn't materialize. Forsett was never healthy. So he was your change of pace guy. He wasn't available. And they didn't really, then Todman had to work his way and earn that trust. So, and then you get into the offensive line upheaval. So everything combined, the running game, shouldn't have succeeded, and it didn't.
No, it really didn't. But like you said, when they were able to get, especially there in the second half of the year, when they got to a point where they were carrying the ball, I think the number's 20 times in a game, they were able to go 4-7, which, look, that's not a great record, but they only won 4. So, that means that when they were able to run the ball effectively, they had basically a 50-50 chance of winning that game.
I'll give you a stat here. First and 10 last year, the Jaguars ran it 40% of the time.
Uh-huh.
So that's,
it felt like more, didn't it?
Yeah, because, I think sometimes in the first half, they're just trying to make sure their defense didn't have to go right back on the field.
Right.
So, once they – I'm trying to find these other stats here. But look at the difference. On second and 2, they ran 81% of the time. We go all the way down to – second and 8, and they only ran 36% of the time. So that shows you the play calling, that if you get in that second and manageable, that gives you some options in terms of run or pass, knowing that if you do take a shot downfield on second and 3, you're only stuck in third and 3.
Sure, and the hope is that they have a lot more explosive ability in the wide receiver core this year than they had last year, too. I mean, I'm curious to see what those numbers look like in the 4 weeks that they had Blackman compared to when they were without Blackman. So when Blackman and Cecil were on the field together, what did that offense look like as far as the play calling that they had? Because when Blackman came off for those first four games and after the for the second half of the season, now you're talking about guys like Mike Brown and Ace Sanders and these unproven guys at this level of football being asked to take up the mantle there on the offensive side of the ball. I think having, even as raw as Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson are going to be coming into the league as second-round picks and rookies and all that, they're going to be better at the wide receiver position than they were last year.
Give you another stat. First four games last year, yards per play, 2.5, 4.0, 4.0, 3.8. Four games that Blackman and Shorts were on the field together, 6.2, 5.1, 6.0, 4.5.
Yeah.
Okay, that means Mercedes Lewis wasn't playing, so you add, you know, obviously Blackman's not back, but if you go Shorts, Lee, Robinson, Lewis, you know, a little bit of either a Sanders or Doss, that kind of deal. So,
sure.
And maybe Alan Hearns works his way in the rotation. So you look at, you know, they won at Houston 5.1 yards because they got a big pop play with Ace. 5.1 against Tennessee, so I think they did there too. So you got to make big plays to affect that average, but you also got to be on the field, you know, a majority of the time to roll up these yards.
Sure. And the fan feedback spotlight question of the day today on Twitter, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, at Ryan O'Halloran. Just let us know what you think the most important position group is for the Jags going into 2014 for team success this year. What is the most important group we're talking about right now? Basically, that offensive side of the ball. They got a young wide receiver core with Cecil Shorts going into a contract year and these two second-round picks that they're going to be relying on. They have a fresh-looking offensive backfield. And I wanted to ask you, Ryan, looking at what they have at running back, we've been talking about Toby Gerhart for months now. What is your gut telling you about how it's going to shake out for the Jags as far as that backfield goes? We know that Toby's going to be the horse for him this year, but beyond that, what is the role going to look like for a guy like Denard Robinson? What is Todman's place in that backfield for them this year? And is Storm Johnson a guy that you think is going to start on the active roster, or do you get the sense that he's probably more of a practice squad type player?
Well, I think he's going to be. He's definitely going to be on the 53.
Okay.
My thing and the question I've been asking is, he going to be on the Sunday 46? Is he going to be active? I'm told that they'll probably keep four tailbacks active. As for the rest of the guys, you know, they look at Gerhart as a quote unquote workhorse, like as Jed said in the story yesterday in Times Union. What those numbers entail, he's not going to be 25 carry a guy. Is he going to be 12 to 15? You know, with a couple catches. Well, I talked to Gus last week. He admitted. I said, "Hey, after Gerhart, then what?" He said, "Trying to figure that out. They're trying to figure out, okay, what does Todman do best? What does Denard do best? What does Storm do best?" I mean, if they have the ball more, that gives more opportunities for those other three guys. They're looking at Robinson is definitely a change of pace guy. Okay, can he play third down? Can he pass protect? Can he catch the ball in the backfield like he did in the OTAs?
Mm-hmm.
Question remains. With Todman, you sort of know more what you got. He was okay on third down. Can he handle more early down work to give Toby a rest? So we won't really know the rotation until Philadelphia, because I don't foresee them giving Gerhart a ton of work in the preseason, just enough to get him comfortable with mm-hmm. the blocking schemes and stuff. So that's going to be an interesting subplot, because it's one of those things where every guy's probably on the team, but it's just a matter of, okay, what roles are they playing?
And if they feel good enough to have Storm Johnson on the 53-man roster, which it sounds like you feel pretty confident that they do, if he's going to be a part of that 53-man roster, then what are you doing if Gerhart got hurt? You know, I mean, who's the guy that's coming on the field? Because Storm seems more like that traditional running back. He looks and feels more like that type of guy than either Todman or Robinson, which are the other guys on that depth chart.
Well, my guess would be is that Storm Johnson would be your first and second down guy, and then you work in Todman as third down, and then Denard, at all points in between.
Right.
You know, they have to have contingency plans because that position is so physical.
Sure.
But that's why they drafted Storm in the seventh round, is they needed a guy who can run over people. And his challenge in camp is going to be, can he catch it? Can he pass protect? You know, because that's going to be asked of him right away. So,
that's all three
games,
of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, the games are going to play out like this, because last year in camp, unless Gus changed it up, they didn't do one-on-one blitz pickup. linebackers running and running backs. So you had to go into the games and find that out. So, you know, running backs and safeties and linebackers, the games are really going to tell what roles they can play.
Yeah, and you'd wonder if they do more of that this year, because last year they had Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean, they knew what they had blocking a little bit there in the backfield, maybe a little bit more than they do this year. But Toby's been a guy that's been on the field a lot on third down. I mean, that's basically the role that he's played during his time in Minnesota, so you'd think he'd be comfortable in blitz pickup or as a receiver out of the backfield. The question is, do they have anyone else on the roster that is, you know, that type of player? Because I don't think you put Denard Robinson on the field to pick up a blitz, which means he's probably not on the field a whole lot on third down.
Yeah, Todman looked okay doing that last year because late in the year they started to wean Maurice's playing time back, take him off the field on third down, put Todman on. Yeah, if they feel like Gerhardt's their best third down guy, then what they'll probably do is take him off the field for a first down. You know, if they want to manage his snaps during the regular season, you know, that's probably what they'll do. That's why they want a third down guy to help him emerge. I mean, they're confident Gerhardt can do all those things. They just don't want to have him do it every single play of every single game.
Sure, and that goes to something we talked about last week when we had you in. You had done the 20-20 question about Cedric Marks and how much he had to play last year. I think because of how much they were forced to have Marks on the field last year, they're probably going to be a little bit more wary with a guy like Gerhardt, who they like. I mean, the team obviously really likes Toby Gerhardt and what he brings for them and the offensive backfield, but they don't want to run the guy into the ground 8 games into the season either.
No, and they won't, because they got, you know, because they do have some options there to play on early downs.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, Denard Robinson, look, he was one of the stars of the offseason, and we'll see what it looks like when he puts on the pads, because we know one of the big questions for him last year was ball security, and he's not getting hit at this point in the offseason. We're about to get into camp, and the pads will go on here in a couple weeks. The preseason games will start, and we'll have a better idea of how much Denard has progressed from year one to year two. But there certainly is an excitement about it. And fans, single-game tickets are on sale now for you to come down and check out your 2014 version of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can go to jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Obviously, the home opener of the regular season coming up September 21st. Week 3 will be the first time they're at home in the regular season when they take on the division rival Indianapolis Colts. We talked last week about potential playoff pushes for this team. If they want to make a playoff push, games like that are vitally important, and the fans out there, look, home field advantage matters in football. We've seen it across the country, not only in NFL stadiums and college stadiums everywhere. You can be a part of that with tickets starting at just $45. Call 633-2000 to get your hands on some Jaguars tickets today. We'll roll on. We'll talk about Blake Bortles, that quarterback position. We're not tired of talking about quarterback yet, and we know you aren't either, as we get ready for the 2014 season as the Jags open up training camp on Friday of this week. I'm Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran alongside as we continue on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's a 1010XL 92.5 FM Jaguars Ticket Blitz on the home of the Jaguars. 1010XL 92.5 FM. Call 633-2000 now.
Know this song.
Woo! All right, rolling on here on a Monday where everything is getting started up this week. Training camp on Friday. Lauren Brooks is starting her birthday week.
That's not what I was doing with the theme.
This is an incredible song.
I do like this song.
I mean, feel free to sing it, Ryan.
No.
Never stop. Why not, dude? I am Fat Tony along with Ryan O'Halloran, Mike Dempsey. It was a little Elvis-y. did right there. I'd love to hear Elvis cover the Stones. That'd be fun.
I don't think you're going to get to.
No, you're not going to get that anytime soon. More likely to get the Stones covering Elvis, I'm afraid. If Donna Murphy's listening, she's thrilled because I just mentioned Elvis Presley.
Absolutely.
Her favorite artist of all time. But we continue here on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers, semi-auto pistols, rifles, shotguns, and tactical rifles. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America. Guaranteed. Trade your gun for gold. gunsforjacks.com or visit them at 1233 South Lane Avenue in Jacksonville. You can call them at 904-693-0777. It is training camp week. I can't believe everything's getting started up already. Those guys are going to be out there working out, getting the conditioning drills in here in about 20 minutes with all the rookies. I think the quarterbacks are in today as well for the team. So, look, there's a lot of cars out in that parking lot, and I actually had half forgotten that today was like report day for the rookies and quarterbacks, and I was walking up, and I was like, what's going on? And then it struck me. I was like, oh, yeah. Today's when everything kind of gets rolling here for this week as training camp opens up on Friday, and Mike and I will be out there live for practice at 9:55 for that 2 hours, and we'll keep you covered throughout all of training camp with guys like Ryan O'Halloran keeping us in the loop about what's happening out there on the field.
Yeah, the first couple days, I get fan questions, hey, when's the best day to come to camp? And being honest, completely honest as possible, you know, come when the pads are on, which would be next week, starting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So, you know, the first 3 days per the CBA, you're not allowed to have pads on. Gus is choosing to do the fourth practice at Bartram Trail next Monday night, no pads. Then day off Tuesday, put the pads on Wednesday. I mean, the schedule could change after that. He could decide no pads, pads, whatever. But if you can come to one practice and you know there's pads on, you get to see the lineman drills, one-on-one pass rushing.
Yep.
You get to see more contact with press coverage in the corners and receivers. So it's just more physical. It's not going to be like a game. Gus said last week he may do some live tackling and running stuff, but maybe just one or two because you don't want to get anybody hurt. So when the pads come on, you can, you know, the intensity goes up a lot. So that's my suggestion, you know, in terms of people getting autographs. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get here early and get along the wall.
Yeah. Somebody will sign something pretty much every day, but that's depends on how much time you're willing to put in to being out here to get that autograph. But I know during the OTAs they were willing to sign on the way off the field. A lot of the guys were training camp may be a little bit of a different story once they're in the pads and all that. So
isn't that also when you give out your autograph, Tony?
Yeah, I will.
I only do it on Fridays.
I will.
Okay.
I have been asked for my autograph one time at like a station event, and I looked at the guy like he had three eyes. I was like, really? You want me to sign something? He's like, my kid loves your show. I'm like, I'm like, all right, man, I'll sign whatever you want me to sign.
And then Tony goes, would you like $20?
Right. This is crazy. Yeah.
You just made me feel awesome.
That is crazy. I know you mentioned a moment ago that they had. You have to have three practices without the pads on. You had the opportunity to talk to Coach Bradley this weekend, and one of the things you asked him about was, you know, that fourth day that they're going to be without pads. Now, for the Jags, it's a little bit different because they're taking that practice on the road over to Bartram. And, you know, I wondered immediately when they said that they were doing that practice, the logistics of trying to get everything together for a training camp practice on the road. And then when I found out it was an unpadded practice, I understand, look, they can get it done if they want to get it done. Usually you have an airplane carrying that kind of stuff around, and all the other equipment is right here at the building to transport all that stuff to a high school. I thought would be a bit of a pill, but they're doing it without the pads.
It'd just be one truck with the blocking dummies and the footballs and stuff. And,
sure, but all the pads.
You know, all the stuff. The guys just carry their helmets on there. So, yeah, so... talking to Gus last week, I talked to him Thursday night here, and I mean, it's just a blast. I mean, as fans can imagine. So, you know, we start talking. Next thing you know, 45 minutes go by. My recorder hasn't even been turned on yet.
Right.
So I said, okay, you got a 6:30 speech you got to give. I said, let's get cracking here. He goes, all right. So we covered a bunch of different stuff. I hopped around. That's why I made it a Q&A format. But the vibe I get from the head coach is that he wants to see this team gel a lot quicker in camp. I mean, everybody should know their roles better. He thinks that should relate to better performance. And the other thing I took, because I gave him a couple chances, not concerned about the offensive line, even though with new starters at every spot compared to week one last year, he said they're tough, they're close-knit, think they'll play well together. So that was my many talking points. And then one thing I asked him, Blake Bortles, how do you get Blake enough reps while also getting Chad Haney ready for the season? And he said that he'll practice with the ones a little bit. One thing Jed Fish told me last week is that they may give Haney a couple of veterans day off here and there just, you know, rest the arm. Well, that puts Bortles in there with the ones the whole time.
Sure.
It'd be a great opportunity. Follow-up to Gus was, do you anticipate starting Blake Bortles in a preseason game? He said if he does, it would be the last game against Atlanta. My preference would be the second game against Chicago, but that's probably not going to happen. So,
well, they're on ESPN that night, too.
Well, ESPN would probably like that.
Yeah, they probably would.
So, but so yeah, we hopped around a lot of different points, but obviously he's looking forward to getting ready to go.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, these guys, this is what they do. And for a team that wound up winning, you know, four games last year, we talked about, it's remarkable the amount of momentum that a team that, from a win-loss perspective, was as bad as the Jaguars were last year, that they have this kind of momentum going into the season. Look, teams that have the number three overall pick and win four games don't have off-season momentum in the National Football League. But for whatever reason, the special set of circumstances that have been here in Jacksonville, this team has been able to carry momentum into the offseason, and they've carried it all the way through into this following training camp. Again, we don't know how much that's going to affect the way that this team plays early on in the year. We don't know, but we know that for a team to be as bad from a win-loss perspective as this team was last year, to still have this kind of wave of momentum going on is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the momentum is created by what they added, because this team did run out of gas at the end of last year, and, you know, be a lot of new faces. But the momentum, it's going to be all talk. It's going to be okay. How much better are they when they line up against Philadelphia in week one? They're going to be a double-digit dog, the only one on the board right now for week one. So it's still, you know, this is phase two of a three or four phase deal. So mm-hmm. They got a lot of questions they got to figure out. There won't be, I don't think there's going to be any shocking cuts. I think that was probably Babin last month. So, but they do have to figure out some depth roles, some special teams roles, whatnot, at this camp.
No, they definitely do. And it's interesting you ask them all those questions about the quarterback position specifically, because I think, you know, a lot of fans, that's where the conversation starts with any NFL team. But here in Jacksonville, I mean, they draft the guy number three overall. They're not going to play him. The plan that they've had in place for Blake Bortles, I think, to this point has been perfect. He's been able to basically practice and come in and not have any pressure on him to be the man from the very beginning, but knows that the mantle is going to be handed to him at some point, probably in 2014, but definitely in 2015 and beyond. And the idea of giving Chad Henne a Veterans Day every now and then strikes me as, yeah, we're trying to find ways to make sure we're still giving Blake Bortles enough reps.
That's absolutely what it is, and that's what it should be.
Yeah.
Because at this stage of his career, Henne will benefit from that. Also, his comfort level with the offense, says it's not going to hurt him.
Sure.
So I see. And last year he didn't need it because him, and, you know, he wasn't getting as many reps. So, you know, that's how they're going to work their way around that.
Yeah, and I was curious about how they were going to handle that whole trying to get Chad Henne ready for the regular season and make sure that they're still giving enough reps to Blake Bortles that they feel like they're developing him at the pace that they want to. When you get into training camp and into practice weeks, when we're getting ready for Philadelphia here in 6 weeks or whatever it is now, there is this balance that this team has to strike at that position that most teams aren't worrying about right now. Most teams have the guy that is the starting quarterback. They're not really worried about developing anything behind him, so let's just get this guy ready. Jacksonville's in a position where the guy they need to get ready needs to be ready maybe week 9 as opposed to week 1. It's an interesting situation, and that was an eye-opening answer a little bit from them regarding what their plan is going to be for the quarterback position going into camp. We are doing a Jaguar Ticket Blitz today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Again, you can get your hands on Jaguar tickets. Single-game tickets are on sale. They start at just $45. You can call 633-2000 or go to jaguars.com/tickets to get your tickets today. They open at home this year against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, September 21st, but a great home schedule this year with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town in October, Cleveland and Miami in back-to-back weeks. Both games of the Jaguars certainly will be capable of winning, and the New York Giants coming to town Thanksgiving weekend in November, as well as the division rivals Houston and Tennessee late in the year. Tennessee on a Thursday night. Again, tickets starting at just $45. Call 633-2000 right now to get your chance to get down to the stadium, see these new big boards, all the new seating arrangements that they have out there as well, with the cabanas and the front rail seating over there in the Bud Zone, as well as some cool club seat options as well, with groups of four that can sit together, all you can eat food and drink and that kind of thing as well.
Lauren Brooks on Twitter challenging the Jaguar fan base.
They need to be challenged.
And you know, Ryan, you really weren't helping my cause earlier when you said fans should get out to the practices in pads, because I want Friday to be, you know, chaotic, or not chaotic, but raucous and lively.
Well, forget everything I said.
Busy.
1010XL.
Crowded.
1010XL, more than 4,000 Bills fans took in first frame practice. Can Jaguars beat that number Friday?
Free football.
I would be surprised. Maybe Saturday.
Free football, and look, this is a fan base that showed up with 6,000 people to come watch a bunch of rookies run around the field in helmets
exactly.
and shorts.
Which would be on a Saturday, so.
Yeah, we'll see. This weekend, make your plans. Make it a 3-day weekend like Lauren Brooks is. It may be her birthday. Pretend it's yours, too.
Yes.
Come out and support your hometown Jacksonville Jaguars as they get on the field and start preparing for real for the 2014 season. Again, $45 regular season single game tickets available now, 633-2000, or go to jaguars.com/tickets. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today. When we return, this date in football history, what do we have in store for you today? Friday was a big one with Shaq Khan's birthday, and it was my birthday as well. But what do we have today on this date in football history? Coming up here in about 20 minutes as well, we'll talk to Doug Stewart up in Kansas City as we continue our tour around the National Football League. This week we'll be in the AFC West, and we'll take a closer look at the Kansas City Chiefs. That's all coming up today on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM Heekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update. Florida State Heisman-winning quarterback Jameis Winston spent a few minutes with our own Joe C. at the 2014 ACC kickoff yesterday, and the national champion is concentrating his efforts on repeating that success.
You got to be better. You got to get better every day. When I focus on myself, I'm trying to get better with my individual, you know, abilities and stuff. And I think about the team, because I know if I do my individual part and everyone does their individual part, when we come together as a team, when we gel, we're going to be unstoppable.
Virginia Tech head coach Frank Beamer, Clemson's Dabo Swinney, and Louisville's Bobby Petrino are all on tap to meet with the media today. Over the weekend, a Gator loss meant a Bulldog gain. Trinity Christian 2015 defensive back Deontay Williams decommitted from Florida and has switched his verbal commitment to Georgia. Today is a 1010XL 92.5 FM Jaguars ticket blitz, so head to jaguars.com/tickets to purchase single-game tickets that are now on sale, including the two preseason games. The Jags kick things off against the division rival Indianapolis Colts Sunday, September 21st, which will be the first Jags game featuring the world's largest video boards and new seating areas. Nothing can compare to the atmosphere of Everbank Field, so get your ticket today. I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM Heekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update. More Jaguars Today with Fat Tony and Ryan O'Halloran comes your way next.
On the home of the Jaguars, the 1010XL 92.5 FM Jaguars Ticket Blitz. Call 633-2000. And now, this date in football history.
Oh yeah, this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, or if you are just in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 904-620-9225. Dr. McCall is a certified Invisalign provider and offers a 10% discount for all first-time customers' initial visits. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. This date in football history, not much. 1961, wide receiver Henry Ellard, if you remember him, of the Washington Redskins, was born. But more importantly, he's in-house. It's Johnny O's birthday. Happy birthday to John Osher, one of our own here with the Jags. Obviously, the writer for Jaguars.com, senior writer, excuse me, for Jaguars.com, as well as a weekly participant here with us here on Jaguars Today. We'll talk to him again Friday.
I like John.
Oh, it's a guy he likes. We found one, Jackson. A guy that he likes. But
happy birthday, Johnny O. Remember, he wants gift cards, everyone.
Oh, yeah, he wants gift cards or cash.
Yes.
So send them down to the stadium here, care of Fat Tony, and I'll make sure he gets those gift cards and cash.
Care of Fat Tony.
I will make sure that
I'm not sure I believe that.
I promise you he will get some of those gift cards
some.
And cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but happy birthday to John Osher and Lauren Brooks starting her birthday week. You made me do it last week with a birthday week, so I will make you do the same, Lauren.
Well, the unfortunate thing for you is I'm in control of the music, so I don't have to do a birthday theme at all this week.
Yeah, well, I'm in control of what I say, so happy birthday week to Lauren Brooks.
Thank you.
As we'll see you out here for training camp on Friday. She's going to take the day off on Friday to come hang out with Mike and I at training camp as it gets started up for
yeah,
the
that's what I'm doing.
Jaguars. Yeah, that's it.
It's not to watch the practice at all.
No.
It's to hang out with you two.
Of course. What, there's a practice going on?
No pads, though, so Ryan would say don't go.
getting to that, by the way, not necessarily with or without the pads, whatever. When you go to training camp, especially for this first week or so, what are you looking for as an observer of these practices? What are you keeping your eye on for the first week?
Well, To get specific for this year, guys who didn't do anything during the off season, are they out there? Chiefly Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, mm-hmm. Are they out there running around? How are they day on, day off, day on? You know, that kind of thing. And really that is the biggest thing. Okay, they've always said they're going to be ready for camp. Now, are they ready? Did they pass the conditioning test, or are they on PUP? So I don't see any surprises coming up on PUP other than Watson and Colvin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to be an issue. But that's the big thing, and that's one of the major storylines for the first couple of days is do Marquise Lee and Al Robinson, A, get out there, B, do they stay out there? And do they – I'm not looking for them to make every catch, but do the coaches feel like the mental reps they've been getting have translated on the field? So that one – I mean, Bortles, you're always going to watch. And then on defense is this is a hell of an opportunity for Leroy Reynolds with Watson still out. You know, he's probably not going to win the starting job if Watson can come back, but they get a chance to work at a new spot with the ones, with Paul Posluszny next to him is a big opportunity. So those are just a couple of the things I'm going to watch.
What does your gut say? I know you wrote up the article last week about Dakota Watson probably starting the training camp, at least on the pup list, which – in the end, doesn't mean much. It means he's not healthy enough to start training camp. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean he won't be ready for week one or whatever the regular season. They have the opportunity to get him activated by then. But how much does that affect what the Jags want to do on defense? With Dakota Watson is a guy that they targeted in free agency. He's one of the first guys they brought in, and they bring in this auto position basically for a guy. I mean, it's custom made for a guy that fits Dakota Watson's skill set. How much does it affect them defensively to not have him on the field?
Let me turn off my phone here quick.
Professional.
I just threw it on the floor. I think the Watson thing is a big deal, and I thought this even before I reported he had surgery because I just tweaked the groin. That's what he said. Okay, it became a week, then became a month, then became the last season. Mm-hmm. So that's when I asked around last week. I said, I'm guessing he had sports hernia surgery. Got back to me on Thursday, said he did. So he had it a week after camp ended. You know, maybe they should have had it earlier. So I think it's a big deal because for the reasons you said is they created this position. They targeted him, a guy who had started 6 out of 60 games and said, you're walking in as a starter.
Yep.
In this era of – in this building of competition, they basically said, you're a starter. Hasn't been on the field yet. You know, what's his comfort level with the defense? Can he play 70 snaps in a game? So – I mean, the PUP thing doesn't matter. It just means he can't practice, but that could last 2 days. It could last 2 weeks. It doesn't matter until, you know, the end of August. So I think the longer that stretches out, I'm going to reserve judgment until you see him on the field doing anything, just anything.
Sure.
Because we haven't seen him yet.
Do you have any kind of gut feeling on when you think he may be ready to be back?
My guess is he'll probably, if they start him out on pup, that means probably a week. I mean, last year they did Cyprian and Blackman, Justin Blackman, on non-football injury, and they're out about a week. And I remember Justin didn't play in the first preseason game, which was 2 weeks. So, you know, I think if he's out a week, then you sort of remove him from the first preseason game, you know, get his conditioning up. So, you know, basically what they need out of him is they need him to at least get a couple games in, those first, the second and third game to get him ready.
And the other guy that's going to be on that pup list that we know of to start training camp is obviously Aaron Colvin, the cornerback that they drafted. They don't expect him to be able to play, if he's going to play, in 2014 until late in the season. We're talking probably December before he would see the field. Mm-hmm. There's a possibility that it could be earlier than that, but this is a team that's obviously willing to take a patient approach with a lot of things. They're willing to draft a guy at number three and sit him for a year. This team is willing to do that, so if they're willing to do that with a number three pick that plays quarterback, you would certainly think that a corner that they took like that, who's coming off a significant ACL injury, that they're willing to wait until he's completely ready to get back on the field. But one of the questions you asked in your 20 and 20 was, who will see the field first? Would it be Aaron Colvin or Blake Bortles? And I know that you kind of get the sense that this team is going to be in trouble from a playoff perspective. They're not going to be a playoff contending team. By the time we get about halfway in the year.
I was a little pissed off at Gil Brandt for starting that. Gil, pick another team. But anyways, I digress.
But look, you seem to have the sense that about halfway through the year, we're going to have a good idea that this team isn't going anywhere as far as the playoffs are concerned. And that's when the question really starts heating up. When do you put Bortles in and move away from Chad Henne?
Take advantage of that. I would like week 8 or week 12. As for Colvin, I think circumstances are going to dictate whether he plays this year, because you start him on the pup, that means he's out for 6 weeks. Okay, that's set. Let's say you get the midseason and you either aren't getting great corner play or you're banged up at the corner spot, mm-hmm. and he's 100%, play him. If he's not, then you have the luxury of just putting him on, you know, keep him on the pup or put him on IR.
Sure.
Have a redshirt year. So they feel like they have some depth there to do that, but they still have to play games and see who comes through those games and plays well and doesn't get hurt. So I think inside this building, their best plan, I think they feel, is having him sit out the whole year, but circumstances change.
No, they do, and you mentioned the rookie wide receivers as well. Obviously, a lot of excitement surrounding Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee coming to Jacksonville. Marquise signed his contract on Friday, so we know everyone will be here when training camp opens up on Friday for this team. But with those guys, they didn't get to participate much in the offseason from an on-field perspective. Like you said, they're hoping that the mental reps that they went through being out on the practice field, maybe not participating fully, but being out on the practice field, being in the meeting rooms with guys like Cecil Shorts and Jerry Sullivan and these guys, that hopefully they've learned something, that the process isn't slow getting them back on the field and getting them comfortable with what they're going to be asked to do in this offense, because I think you, like a lot of, we all have the sense that they're going to rely pretty heavily on these two rookie wide receivers in this offense this season.
They are. I mean, and they want to get them up to speed, and they better be ready to go. And they're being given a great opportunity to play right away. It's in their hands. All they got to do is stay healthy, show they pick things up, and then produce. So earn that playing time. But I think expectations are going to be tempered in here because of their youth. Keep in mind, Al Robinson, still 20 years old. 20.
Yeah.
This isn't the NBA. This is the NFL. So he's the youngest guy on the team. They feel his maturity level is far older than that, so he'll be, you know, that he should contribute. So, but there's going to be ups and downs, but what they feel like is they can get him ready for week one, it brings a whole different element to this offense.
Sure. And I talked to this briefly with John Osher last week when he was in. We were talking about these rookie wide receivers and what to really expect out of rookies when they're coming into the league. What are your expectations for those two guys from a number perspective? What do you think would be a good season for those guys, with Cecil Shorts probably being handling the brunt of the workload at the wide receiver position? Obviously, he's very comfortable with Chad Henne already, and Chad Henne's comfortable with him. What are good numbers for Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson this year?
On Lee, I'll go 97 catches, 1,800 yards, 14 touchdowns.
Are you trying to make up with
Joe Fortunato like that?
Oh, my goodness.
If they combined for 100 catches,
uh-huh.
and if they combined for 10 touchdowns,
okay,
and they combined for 1,500 yards.
Okay.
So I think that'd be, you know, and then you throw Cecil in with 60 for 1,006, or, and then you're looking at 17 touchdowns already. So that, yeah, so if they get, if either of those two rookies can get to 50, that would be a good season.
Sure. And Ace Sanders got there last year. And these guys are both, they're more talented at the wide receiver position than A. Sanders was when he came into the league as a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, they're ready to be, you know, they had to throw Sanders in last year. These guys are ready to be thrown in.
Let's hope. We'll
I
see.
Think they are.
From an injury perspective, let's hope that these guys are both completely healthy. We talked about it when they got hurt during the offseason that, look, if they're going to get hurt, this is the time of year for it to happen to these guys. Let's hope it doesn't happen once we get to camp. And like you said, these first couple days, as much as anything, you're keeping your eye on guys like Lee and Robinson and how healthy are they as they get started in training camp, because now it matters. Now, you know, every day that you miss matters, especially as somebody that young trying to pick up a new offense, and as much as they're going to be relying on especially those two guys and what they want to do with this passing game, they have to be on the field for this Jaguar team in order for this offense to be effective. We're going to talk the Kansas City Chiefs coming up next. Doug Stewart coming on from Kansas City at Sports Radio 810 WHB as we continue our tour around the National Football League. This week, we're out in the AFC West. We're also having our second Jacksonville Jaguar ticket blitz here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. You have tickets available to you. They are just $45 for single game tickets. Right now, you can go to jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000 to get your hands on those. Obviously, a great home schedule. We've been talking about it all day long. They open up with the Colts. The Steelers are coming to town this year. The Giants, a couple games that they can win in Cleveland and Miami, Houston and Tennessee, also in the division, all coming up this season right here at EverBank for you to enjoy. The new atmosphere down here is going to be unreal with the new video boards coming in. They're unveiling those, obviously, this coming Saturday. But with the new video boards and new ways to watch down here at the stadium with the pools and cabanas and the new stuff they're doing with the club-level seating and the rail seating over there in the Bud Zone. You have a lot of opportunities to check out from some pretty cool venues here at the stadium, your Jacksonville Jaguars, as well as on-field seats. It's essentially courtside seating at an NFL game, ladies and gentlemen. Where else are you going to get that kind of entertainment? Tickets starting at just $45. Again, go to jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Doug Stewart will join us next to talk a little Kansas City Chiefs as we continue our tour around the National Football League on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's a 1010XL 92.5 FM Jaguars Ticket Blitz. Call 633-2000.
Rolling on here on a Monday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey will be back with us tomorrow. Until then, you have me, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran alongside. We'll talk to him again later on in the week as the Jags open up camp on Friday. Training camps opening up all across the league this week of players reporting. And we continue our tour around the National Football League. Our stop today is Kansas City with the Chiefs. So let's go talk to Doug Stewart, who is with Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. You can follow him on Twitter at DougStewart1. What's up, Doug?
Not much. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, doing fantastic. And looking at this Kansas City team, the first thing I ask myself is, how did they make the playoffs last year again? And are they in a position to repeat that kind of success, that formula in 2014?
Well, good questions. And maybe the answer to the first will lead us to the answer to the second. And the answer to the first was they had a nice schedule coming off a 2-14 year. You know, you get all the last place little kisses. And so they had a good schedule. They got off to a hot start and were able to just kind of hang on to get into those playoffs last year. Defensively, I think overachieved at the first part of the year, exposed a little bit at the latter part of the year. Offensively, did enough to win early in the year, and then I think did get better toward the latter part of the year. Now, whether that was a product of the type of games they were playing because they were more high scoring, or whether it was a product of getting used to Andy Reid and his system, I'm not sure, and that's something that'll be answered this year. Now, the answer to the second one, how's it going to go this year? Much tougher schedule. And now they've got to play a second place schedule, so they've got some stuff in there, you know, tougher teams in those games. Plus they go up against the NFC West, where you have the Seahawks and the 49ers and even an improving Cardinals and Rams teams. The schedule is going to be a lot tougher for them this year. So they're going to have to be better this year just to equal what they did last year. And if you look at their offseason, I think there's some questions on whether or not they're better than they were a year ago.
Like, one of those questions, Doug, is offensive line. Brandon Albert goes to Miami. Jeff Schwartz goes to the Giants. Regardless if they were good players, they started last year. What's the level of concern you think inside the Arrowhead about whether those guys can be replaced quickly?
Yeah, I think they're hopeful, actually, that those guys can be replaced. Brandon Albert, you know, a good left tackle when he was in there, but a guy who a lot of times had some nagging injuries, was still able to get on the field most of the time. But they think, you know, maybe he was kind of getting to the end of that rope. So they made their number one draft pick a couple of years ago, Eric Fisher. They expect him to move over. I think he's going to be the big question. Can he go to the left side? Can he perform better? Because he had injuries last year, too. So he didn't have a full year in the NFL before moving to that left side. How does he adjust? How is he able to handle protecting the blind side is going to be the biggest factor. I think outside of that, I think they kind of like where they are. They've got some young guys who continue to get, you know, more and more experience in starting with their center, Rodney Hudson. And, you know, they've got guys at both guard positions now that have started in this league. And Stevenson, their right tackle, is a guy who got a lot of playing time last year because of Fisher injuries. So I think they like where they are on the offensive line. They feel like these guys are going to continue to develop. And, you know, with more and more playing time, I think they have the sense that this unit could actually be better than last year's, even losing all of those games, if Eric Fisher can take that big step. And that's going to be obviously the biggest question moving forward. Other than that, the guys that they've got on that line, including Eric Fisher, a lot of them are, you know, picks in the first, second, and third round. So it's guys they've invested in, guys that have started to get some games under the belt. They think that most of them can take a nice step forward this year. We'll just see if Eric Fisher can take that big leap.
Doug, and going into last year, the Chiefs obviously made Eric Fisher the number one overall draft pick. They had Luke Jokel available to them if they wanted to go left tackle. What was the fan reaction to that pick, taking a guy out of a Michigan directional school as opposed to Texas A&M, right, at least the university they know? And what were the returns as far as grades on Eric Fisher through 1 year? I know he had the injuries that kept him off the field a little bit, but how do they feel like he played?
You know, I think when he was in there, they felt like he did okay. And he was switching from left to right, which is always a different thing. He had never played right tackle before in his life. So, you know, getting the footwork down and some of those things was new to him. So that was going to stunt his development a little bit. I think they felt like he was starting to come on a little bit, starting to really look like he was taking some strides before that injury and before he started missing some time. As far as the pick itself, yeah, that was a big question. You know, why are you taking the guy from a small school? But you have to remember that that was the, you know, the first pick of this new regime, of the Andy Reid and John Dorsey regime. And anytime you have a change and get rid of an outgoing general manager and coach who just led you do a 2-14 season, everybody loves most everything they do. So they were given a lot of benefit of the doubt making that pick. A lot of people just said, hey, let's give these guys a shot. No one was really up in arms about the pick because you didn't know exactly how Jokel would do either. And I think what they saw from Fisher at times was good. And we'll see if the faith they have in him going forward. This will be the big year. And we've talked a lot about, you know, wins and losses. Is that how we're going to judge the general manager? I said, you know, to me, how we're going to judge the general manager moving forward isn't necessarily wins and losses this year because of the schedule and some of the challenges they're going to have. It's not even in his free agency moves. How are his draft picks going to come along? Because that's how you're going to win in this league. Eric Fisher is going to be the biggest one. Eric Fisher needs to take a step. He needs to prove that they made a right choice with the number one overall pick. And that's going to go a long way to telling us that John Dorsey is going to be a good general manager for here forward for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Alex Smith back at quarterback for his second year. Do you think a contract extension gets done during camp, and do both sides want to do it now?
You know, I don't know. And for the last several months, we've thought that that's probably going to happen, that maybe before camp, I think, is what a lot of people thought was going to happen, but definitely during camp that there would be some sort of extension. It seemed like both sides were on the same page, and both sides, you know, wanted to get something done. But I'll tell you, we just interviewed Alex Smith on Friday, and he threw a couple of things out there, you know, just kind of on the side that kind of perked our ears up a little bit about the negotiations. And one of the things he said is, you know, I'm happy here. This is where I want to be. I think they're happy with me. We're obviously working toward getting something done. He goes, but what I want to do is get it done right. He goes, I want to get something done that's good for the next 6 years, for the long term, for, you know, the remainder of my career. I don't want to get something that we're going to have to go back and revisit in 2 years, and because one side's unhappy or the other side's unhappy. That kind of threw up, you know, an ear to us.
Interesting.
Because you don't hear guys usually talk like that. Usually guys are like, let's get the deal done. And everybody kind of sees those long deals as, you know, yeah, it's 6 years on paper, but we know after three they can cut him and the cap hit's gone and, you know, it becomes more team friendly at that point. He kind of made it sound like he wasn't exactly on board with that type of contract. He wanted something that was a little more long-term and spread out as opposed to something that the team could revisit in a couple of years. So that made me think, well, maybe this thing isn't as close as we were led to believe earlier in the offseason. So if this thing creeps into the season, it might be something we don't see until the next offseason. We'll see how that turns out. But I think our optimism after visiting with him on Friday is a little lower than it was even just a couple of weeks ago.
Bravo, Alex Smith, for taking these negotiations public.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pretty open guy. He's not afraid to talk, and he's been in the league a long time. He's a very intelligent guy, and remember the high Wunderlich scores he had coming out of college and, you know, all the stuff. So he's an intelligent guy, and I think he kind of knows what he's doing. He's calculated in what he says, and, you know, I think he was kind of letting it sneak out there. He knows camp's starting this week, and there's going to be a lot of questions of everybody, and so for him to let that little nugget sneak out there, I think, was interesting because we know how the negotiations are going. Alex Smith is saying we're starting, you know, with Jay Cutler and moving above that. And I think probably after the Colin Kaepernick deal, the team probably said, sure, we'll pay you, but look at what they did with Kaepernick. We'll pay you, but we want it set up to where in a couple of years, if you're not, you know, as great anymore, we want to be able to have some flexibility. And now the two teams have to find a comfort zone in the middle. And like I said, I think after visiting with him on Saturday or Friday last week, it seemed like maybe they're a little further apart than we thought.
Yeah.
A few more minutes here with Doug Stewart from Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City, at Doug Stewart 1 on Twitter. And Doug, we know what they're going to have at running back. Jamaal Charles, one of the most dynamic running backs in the National Football League. But at the wide receiver position, it's Dwayne Bowe, who's been a bit of a disappointment for the last couple years, really, for Kansas City. And then it just feels like a wasteland for them at wide receiver with guys like Donnie Avery. They made the trade last year for A.J. Jenkins, Junior Hemingway. I mean, what is there? What are the options in the passing game right now for this Chiefs team?
Well, and you're right. And that was something they tried to address. You know, they were trying to get a deal done with Emmanuel Sanders, who went on to the Broncos, which, you know, double sting there. So there was obviously, you know, they knew they needed to upgrade a little bit of wide receiver. They weren't able to get that done. So now they've kind of did it in a couple of different ways. I think what you're going to see is Junior Hemingway from Michigan. He's been in the league a couple of years now. He's proved to be somewhat of a weapon down in the red zone. He's got a big body. He can shield off defenders. He can go up and get the ball. I think you're going to see him maybe in the short yardage type, in the red zone type situations when they need, you know, just throw it up to somebody, get a nice 5-yard catch, somebody that's big and strong and can go get it. I think he's going to play in the slot a lot. You know, their draft pick out of Oregon, I think they're going to play Thomas. They're going to play him a lot in the slot, a little bit in that Dexter McCluster type of role, maybe move him in the backfield some, get him the ball in space, see if he can make some big plays for him. And then you mentioned Donnie Avery is just kind of the other guy on the other side, and I think that's where they could really use something. You know, Andre Johnson unhappy with the contract. Everybody here would love to see Andre Johnson come up here. I don't think he'll ever get done, but that's what they need. They need a real threat to then take some of the heat off Dwayne Bowe, and right now they don't have that. I think if the Chiefs' passing game is going to get better, it's going to be because of help at the tight end situation. I think you're going to see them a lot more involved in the passing game. Now that Anthony Fasano is healthy, Travis Kelce, the draft pick from a couple of years ago, is healthy now. I think they're going to have to be more involved, and I think they're going to have to find ways to get those slot receivers involved, because at this point in his career, and from what I saw from him last year, from Donnie Avery, anything you get from him is gravy. He had a nice game against the Colts. He was able to stretch the field a couple of times, but that's basically all he's got. He's not going to be a guy that draws any extra attention. Most teams are going to be able to take care of him with just one guy, and so they're going to have to do a lot of damage in that middle of the field, I think, for this offense to go.
Switch on defense for a second, Doug. Expectations for first-round draft pick Dee Ford and his role this year?
It'll be interesting. The other big, besides the Alex Smith contract, the other big thing everyone's watching for in camp is contract of Justin Houston, who sat out all of the mini camps and off-season work, the voluntary stuff. Now, we'll see if he does that when he's going to get fined, and we'll find that out Wednesday when the team reports. Indications are he's going to show up unhappily, but he is going to show up because I'm sure he'd rather have the money. But he got hurt last year. Tom Pauley's getting up there in age. He got hurt last year. He's 30. I think, you know, they're going to see a lot of work for Dee Ford, and I think for this year he's going to be an insurance policy. I think they're going to try to get him in some, you know, certain type of packages and get him some work, but I think he's definitely there if Tomba gets hurt again. He's there if Justin Houston gets hurt again, or if for some reason if Justin Houston does hold out, he's a little bit of an insurance policy. by all accounts, they've loved him to this point. They love his speed. They love his first step. They really think he can get after the quarterback. Now, that's all been done in the offseason work with no pads. We'll see how he works out when they start hitting a little bit here in the next couple of weeks. But they have high hopes for him, and I think he's definitely there as an insurance policy, at least for next year and moving forward, and this year for injuries, and then just maybe some spot work here and there.
Doug, before we let you go, as you take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs and where they sit in the AFC West, everyone expects to be Denver to be really good again, probably the favorite in that division. San Diego is supposed to be a team contending with Denver. Where does Kansas City fit into the AFC West? And in a pretty weak AFC, do you think they can make a push at another wild card berth?
I think it's going to be tough for them. You know, a lot of the, as in any town, a lot of the guys here are native Kansas Cityans. Most of them have the Chiefs 9-7, 8-8. I'm not from Kansas City. I have them 7-9 looking at the schedule. I think it's going to be an uphill battle for them. We know the Broncos are going to be good. A lot of people like what the Chargers have done. I think the Chiefs and Chargers are probably going to be battling a break here or there. You know, a bad injury is going to, you know, could cost either of those teams some games. Maybe the head-to-head games between the two may make the difference. If either one happens to get a sweep on the other, that might make the difference for second place in the West. You know, if somebody trips up against the Raiders, which you can't do, you know, that could hurt them a spot. But I think it's going to be Chiefs and Chargers battling right there in that 8-8, 9-7, 7-9 kind of, you know, spot. And if one of them, you know, catches some breaks at the right time, you know, misses a, you know, if Tom Brady has to sit out the game that the Chiefs play the Patriots, and maybe they get a kiss there or something. You never know how things are gonna shake out 16 games from now. But a couple of breaks, maybe the Chiefs get up to 9-7. Maybe that sneaks them in, you know, to a wild card spot. I don't expect it. I think they're going to be 500 or maybe a little bit below, and probably not make the playoffs this year.
He is Doug Stewart with Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Doug, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time this morning.
Anytime.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you again soon as we get into the regular season. Last year we were getting ready for week one against those Kansas City Chiefs. And
I picked the Jags to win that game. It didn't work out.
See what happens when you get all sunshine and rainbows.
Well, I thought the Chiefs, they were 2-14 last year. Man, are they just as bad? But I mean, I sort of agree with what Doug was saying. Maybe a little bit of fall back down to earth a little bit for the Chiefs, playing a tough division with Broncos and Chargers. I think the Chiefs and Chargers battling out there for that, one of those wild card spots. I could see that happening. And it's the interesting insight in the contract stuff with Alex Smith. I mean, he wants that to be his last stop. The Chiefs are doing the math and they go, okay, you sort of had a couple of good years. You've been hurt a little bit, and maybe we should make this a 3-year deal or 2-year deal. So. And they drafted Aaron Murray.
Yes, they did.
They did. Okay. And so they got a little insurance there and come off an injury. So, interesting team.
No, it is an interesting team, and I think I agree with you. I think that's usually the playoffs turn over by about half the teams in the NFL every year, and Kansas City is a prime team to look at and say, hey, they made the playoffs last year. It's not going to happen for them this year. If you're trying to pick out the 6 of the 12 that aren't going to do it again in 2014, I think Kansas City's towards the top of that list. And again, it's because, look, I don't even think Kansas City is confident in what they have going forward into 2014 right now, because they have nothing at wide receiver. I mean, nothing at wide receiver. Dwayne Bowe is an okay player. I don't even think he's a franchise player like they designated him last year. He certainly didn't deserve the contract that he got from that organization. But there's just nothing out there, and Alex Smith is as much a game manager as there is in the league right now. He's good enough to not sink you. That's about as good as Alex Smith can be.
Well, they're going to find out about themselves early. First 6 games include at Broncos, home to the Pats, at the Niners, at the Chargers.
Ooh.
And so they're going to find out.
Ooh. They started, what, like 10-0 last year?
Something like that.
Maybe they start this year 2-8, somewhere in that range.
There's usually one of those teams that takes a big step back. Yeah. Kansas City last year, 11-5, 9-0.
9-0, yeah, before they played the Broncos for the first time.
Yeah, 9-0, then they went 2-5 down the stretch and then blew the playoff lead.
Yeah, huge playoff lead. So, yeah, that's what happened with the Chiefs last year. I don't expect them to be back in the playoffs this year. Thanks again to Doug Stewart for joining us today on Jaguars Today. on 1010XL 92.5 FM all day long. We're having our Jacksonville Jaguars ticket blitz with single game tickets that are on sale now starting at just $45. You can go to jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000 to be a part of it here at home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The home field matters. The home crowd matters. You can bother that other team. Be a part of it here with the Jacksonville Jaguars as we enter the 2014 season. They open up week 3 against the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck. Let's frustrate them, Jacksonville. Again, single game tickets starting at just $45 right now at 633-2000. All right, continuing along, we will get to the fan feedback spotlight. We ask you today, what position group for this Jaguar team in 2014 is the most important for their success this year? If you have a response that you want to get in, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, at Ryan O'Halloran, we will read some of those responses here in just a moment. Also on the Facebook page, Jaguars Today Facebook page, we will read those. We'll give out a t-shirt here in just a moment on the fan feedback spotlight on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right. A few more minutes left here on Jaguars Today. I am Fat Tony. Ryan O'Halloran alongside Mike Dempsey will be back after an extended vacation tomorrow. He decided that he was going to take that vacay. He wanted to be back, you know, when he just had a couple days to get ready for training camp as the rest of us suffered through the All-Star Week. In Major League Baseball, where that was about the only thing going on. Of course, the station up at SEC Media Days last week, so we had to be covered for all
that. That was a lifesaver.
The ACC Media Day is going on right now. FSU is up there today, so we heard from Jameis Winston a little bit earlier on. Joe Cowart is up there, so we'll keep you updated with all the latest from ACC Media Days. Is again, Florida State, the defending national champions, coming through the building today, and that's really the big story in the ACC, obviously, as they kind of carry the banner for that conference. But we'll keep you updated on everything going on at the ACC Media Days as Hacker and T-Wig will be back at the studio. We'll talk to them in a couple of minutes.
ACC BAD.
It's pretty bad.
It's terrible.
I think they would come back to you with N-A-T-T-Y.
Natty?
N-A-T-T-Y. What's that?
Yeah, they won the national championship.
Well, there's one team.
Yeah, and as we all learned immediately afterwards, they really did it in an SEC manner with SEC coaches because the SEC wants to take credit for everything.
Are you a Seminole, Lauren?
Me? No, I went to the University of Florida.
She's okay. A Gator. Okay. She's a Gator defending them Seminoles.
I'm not defending the Seminoles. I'm just defending the ACC. I'm defending the Atlantic Coast Conference so that way I don't get ragged on.
Oh, I don't care if they rag on
me. Nothing says ACC football like
the conference,
Louisville at Syracuse.
Right. The conference sucks. That doesn't mean Florida State's bad.
I think Louisville might be pretty good.
Florida State's really,
I wouldn't
good.
Trust that coach as far as I could throw him.
Yeah, but I trust him on the field.
Yeah. Would you go to
just not off the field.
Did you go to Louisville?
Did I? No. And remember, that team whooped my team's butt the last time they played.
Yes, they did.
My conference has media days in Dallas today and tomorrow with Big 12.
Okay.
That has a 10-team team.
Okay. Yeah, I know. You and the Big 10 switched.
Yeah.
One of you was correct.
they took Nebraska, and I was like, have them.
Yeah. But with that, let's get into the fan feedback spotlight today.
Are you transitioning from Bo Pelini to
that? I know. The Tom Bush family of dealerships, we ask Jaguar fans, what drives you today? And the Tom Bush fan feedback spotlight, we ask you, the Jaguar fans out there, what position group is the most vital for the success of the 2014 Jacksonville Jaguars? At 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, or at Ryan O'Halloran, also on the Facebook page. The responses we got were thus. Sean said the O-line, 100%. If they are able to run block and pass protect, that would lead to first downs and touchdowns. Hashtag Jaguars Today. From Jay, we got the running backs will be ultra important. Got to take the heat off Henny and those young receivers. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Hashtag Uno Randy. I'm not sure what that means.
One Randy?
Up. Yeah, it's shut up. Randy is our deal. But Issachar said defensive line will allow those young DBs to make some good plays and let them be elite. Hashtag Jaguars Today. from Kevin. Going to go O-line. Need those guys to gel. Give Chad Henne time and open holes for Toby. Hashtag Jaguars today from Stevie at Irish Jaguar. QB, 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 wide receiver QB. Hashtag Jaguars today. I think he thinks the skill positions there on offense are pretty important, starting with the quarterback. From Brandon, we have defensive line. It's been bad for years. We need to consistently put pressure on opposing quarterbacks. From Joshua, D-line, it's been atrocious. Everything starts in the trenches. Hashtag already won, but still love y'all. Hashtag Jaguars today. We love you too, Joshua. From Tony Agolini, offensive line. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Robbie, O-line for sure. If that goes, so does our offense. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag happy birthday, John Osher. Hashtag ran out of room.
And he spelled it right, by the way.
Yes, he did.
Pretty impressive.
With the H before the S. From Paolo, we got getting some good pressure and sacks from DL will make everything else easier on defense. Hashtag Jaguars today. And on the Facebook page, just a couple more here. From Joel, the D-line, more pressure on the quarterback means less work for the defensive backs, resulting in a more efficient defense. Better defense means less pressure on the offense to put up big numbers. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag still shirtless. From Joel.
I hope he has other shirts.
That's right. I hope you're not trying to get into a convenience store or a restaurant because you need a shirt, buddy. From David, it's not just one position group. It's both O-line and D-line. Hashtag Jaguars today. And from Brian, O-line easy. It's been a weak spot for years. Jaguars want to run and run a lot with Gerhardt without a good, steady O-line. Cannot do that. Right guard may be the site of the biggest position battle in this camp. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag I want a shirt. Hashtag shut up, Randy. We appreciate all your responses every day on the Tom Butch Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight for you. Mr. O'Halloran, what do you think is the most important position group for the Jags' success in 2014?
Well, I think they get that offensive line figured out so they can try and run it better, so they can protect Chad Henne. This team has given up 100 sacks in the last 2 years.
That's a ton.
Third
That's
straight year of 50.
Avalanche.
Can't happen. So you feel good about your left tackle. Is Mike Brewster up for it at center? Who wins the right guard between McClendon and Linder? You feel good about Beatles, and you feel relatively good about Austin Pastor coming back from the shoulder at right tackle. So getting them work on, you know, in terms of his own blocking, working as a train as a, when they're blocking, communication, big part of camp for this group.
Sure, and I think I say O-line too, and I think defensive line is more important in the scheme of things for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think they're closer on defense than they are on offense right now. And with those guys being a little bit older, it's important for them to be ready and going right away, more so than the offensive line, which is going to take some time to gel. But I think because we all feel like we know what the pieces look like on the defensive line, we've seen Chris Clemens play well in this league. We've seen Red Bryant play well in the National Football League. So we feel like the defensive line is going to be pretty good, and we're all still kind of wondering about the offensive line. And because of that, I think that they really are the key for how good or bad or competitive this Jaguar team is going to be on offense at all this year. Because I think the skill positions are good enough that they're going to be okay. Chad Henne is good enough. What they have at wide receiver is good enough. Toby Gerhardt, I like. Mercedes Lewis, when he's healthy, I like. But is the offensive line going to be a team that's going to be giving up 45 sacks again this year? Because if they are, then Chad Henne, I don't care how all right he is, it's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and last 2 years particularly, they haven't had any continuity, either because of injuries or underperformance or a trade with Monroe. So there's always been a lot of moving pieces that really haven't been able to link up. They did in the second half of last year a little bit. You saw some improved play. Let's face it, they got lucky with Pastor. He was a 6'7 guard in college, and they kicked him out to tackle, and he was a productive player. So, but a lot hinges on Jokel. If they can leave him out at left tackle without any help, that takes care of a lot of other issues.
No, it certainly does, and that's why they drafted him. I mean, they invested a number 2 pick in a draft in Luke Jokel, and they're hoping that he fills that spot there at left tackle for this team for the next 8-10 years. I mean, that is the hope for this franchise, and if he doesn't, then they're kind of back to the drawing board on the entire offensive line with starting a rookie at right guard. Who knows what Austin Pastor is going to be at that point. They have Mike Brewster out and played center in a couple years, really, for this team, stepping in at center, and a free agent at left guard that some people were up on, some people were down on. So we'll see what the whole thing looks like. Before we step aside for today, what do you have coming up this week?
Stuff. Tomorrow we have AFC storylines and a review of the Jaguars offseason in terms of like what was the headline that day, what was the story, what it meant. Later this week, Friday's paper, training camp primer. Five guys that need to step up. Five objectives for camp, the full roster. And then we move into the weekend. Shad Khan's going to be in town, probably talk to him. And then, once camp starts, we'll get into that rhythm where we'll have three stories a day in the paper.
Sure.
And then regular blog stuff.
All right.
So there we go.
That's Ryan O'Halloran. Thank you for joining me today on Jaguars Today. We'll talk to you a little bit later on in the week.
All right.
The Jacksonville Jaguars ticket blitz continuing today. Again, we've been telling you all morning long, single game tickets now available for just $45. Look, you're not going to be able to have the same experience from your couch that you can now have down here at EverBank when the Jags unveil these new big boards and everything else that they have going on for the game day experience this year. It won't be the same from your couch. Are you worried about your fantasy stats? Don't. They'll have them up on the boards. All the stats will be available to you all afternoon long. Come on out and check out your Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, single-game tickets starting at just $45. They open up their home schedule against division rival Indianapolis, and Andrew Luck coming to town on September 21st. Come out and support them. Let's make it loud here. Let's have a home field advantage for these guys as they kick off their 2014 season. Single-game tickets available for just $45. Go to jaguars.com/tickets or give them a call, 633-2000, as we get ready for training camp, preseason, and then, of course, the NFL regular season here in Jacksonville. I want to say thank you to Ryan O'Halloran one more time, for Joe Fortunato, for Lauren Brooks as she begins her birthday week, and Doug Stewart coming on with us to talk Kansas City Chiefs a little bit earlier on in the program. I am Fat Tony. Mike Dempsey will rejoin us tomorrow. We will rejoin XL Primetime. Hacker and Joe C. and T-Wig and the boys getting ready for another edition of XL Primetime. That's coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.